Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter number 2 this evening. Ephesians chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes, if God will be our help, on this thought, the imparted grace of God. The imparted grace of God. Now, to impart means to know or to make known. Amen? And as I look at this tonight, and I want to kind of look at it in a peculiar way, I want to try to demonstrate to you and get you to see how it works. How the imparted grace of God, or the known grace of God, how it works in our lives. Amen. How it begins to manifest itself in us. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now, if He was speaking to us tonight, which He is, the Bible is speaking to every one of us. Amen. If we just listen, we'd hear things from the Lord. But He's speaking to us. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's how we're saved. He said, "How are you saved today?" We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Through the faith that we have in the grace of God, that unmerited favor of God. It's not that we can work our way in. He goes on to tell us that in verse number 9. He said, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." But He said, "For by grace you saved through faith." And it's that said, "Not of yourselves." So we have to understand that grace is the gift of God. God gives us grace, unmerited favor, to be saved. In other words, God calls you unto Himself. God saves you unto Himself. God saves you for Himself. Amen. That's what grace is. That's what grace does. So we look at this tonight and we see it. And He said, because of the grace, the unmerited favor of God, that we are saved, we're brought into the family of God, and then we begin to do the good works that's pleasing to the Lord. Because we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto those good works. Amen? That's how it works. That's how it begins to all fit together for His glory. And we see God begin to move in that. He said, "In which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We should walk in them. And He said it was before ordained, established beforehand, that this is the way we would begin to walk. As we go in this journey of life, and we go as a Christian, amen, praise God, we call ourselves Christian because we become Christ-like. We become followers of Christ. Amen. Walking in the footsteps of our Savior, headed to glory. That's where He's at tonight, by the way. He rose from the dead to rise. He ascended up to sit at the right hand of the Father on high to make intercession for you and I. Praise God. Ain't you glad it's that way? Without that, we'd have no hope tonight, but I'm glad we do. So we see that as Paul lays it out here to the Ephesians, we know where we were because of transgressions of sins. We know what God done for us because of the grace of God that we're saved through faith. And when we get that grace and we get that saving faith, praise God, we begin to move ahead in the imparted grace of God. In other words, what we know about what God wants to do for us. Amen? And then we can see that today in the corresponding grace that God gives us. Now, corresponding, it corresponds, in other words, to match up. That's what God wants to do. He wants a grace that corresponds. It wants to match up with what God has for you and I. That grace that matches, praise God, His will and His design. You might say it agrees with God. Our salvation, praise God, through grace, through faith, it matches up with God's destiny for humanity. Amen? So we become, in that corresponding grace, we begin to agree and we begin to assimilate ourselves into the likeness of a Savior. I thought about the word exactly, but we'll never meet that because our Savior was perfect. Amen? And I don't know what you think about yourself. I'm not perfect. I will never be perfect this side of eternity. Amen. I'm striving for perfection. I want to be more like my Savior every day. I want to keep my eyes on my Heavenly Father, praise God, with a destiny and a desire, praise God, to be there one day and hear well done, thy good and faithful servant. But I'm not there right yet. But with corresponding grace, the corresponding grace of God, praise God, I'm directing myself through the Word of God to try to get there, praise God, the best of my ability. And you know, that's all God asks tonight, youngins, as we do our best, praise God, to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, to do the things that's right according to what God says, not what man says or Dr. Spock says or anybody else thinks. Amen. It's what God tells us. Amen. How do we do it? Praise God. It's the corresponding grace to God, the way it matches up with what God says. Amen. That's how you know whether you're running well. If we look at the Word of God and we read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and God begins to show us the errors of our ways, the goodness of His, and then we start setting a pattern, praise God, where we begin to pattern ourselves like Him with His Word. And God begins to reveal Himself, praise God. That's the imparting grace of God. That's what He does. He begins to make known to us that we're running on the right track. Amen. You can get on the right track, or you can be on the wrong track. There's a track, it looks about the same, praise God, but it's running in a different direction. Amen? So we need to be on the corresponding track, corresponding grace of God, so that we can be going in the right direction. And you say, Pastor, how do you get there? It's God Almighty that does that for us. It's the ceaseless work of God that helps us to get there. Look over at Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Excuse me. Galatians number 5 and verse number 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said, this is what we're running on. Amen. This is what God provides us if we're following Him. If we're listening to Him, if we love Him, praise God, He said, if you love me, He said, you'll keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, He said, you'll love your neighbor as I have loved you. Amen. He said, you'll have a Christ-like love in your heart. And said, if you've got a love in your heart, praise God, God in His ceaseless works will begin to help you to have the fruit of the Spirit, His Spirit, praise God, bless His name, that Spirit of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And on top of that, He said, there'll be meekness and temperance. And He said, against this, such as this, He said, there is no law. Amen? There's nothing that supersedes this. Amen. When we're running in the ceaseless work of God, God's continually working in us, praise God, we can run well for Him. Amen? Praise God. That's that corresponding grace, praise God, knowing Him, praise the Lord, and allowing Him to direct us in the path He wants us to go and just walk therein. Amen. Without rebellion. Amen. I went down to a radio station yesterday with a little fellow, and he was preaching out of Ezekiel, and he was talking about how Israel rebelled against God. Amen. If we quit rebelling against God and just go with God, it makes a big difference. It makes life easier. Amen? It makes life easier when we go with God. Praise God. We begin to identify with Him, and God, through His ceaseless work, begins to take us in the direction He wants us to go. He helps us to get there. He's got a plan, a purpose. Praise God, it's far better than anything we could come up with. Amen? Far better than anything you could even imagine or try to work into. Praise God. So we see the Lord God speaking to us. He speaks in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 5. He says this, and said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and the lust. Amen. Those that are Christ, those that are in Christ. Said we've crucified the flesh. We've crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust, the things that we chase after in this world. Verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen? So if we got the Spirit, if we have the Spirit of God, if we've been saved, born again, amen, he said, if that's who we claim to be, he said, then let us walk in that Spirit. He said, don't rebel against it. He said, but go with it and let the Spirit carry you along. Amen? Just rejoicing as you go. Praise God. Hey, it gets better farther on when you do that. In the Spirit of God ministering to your heart and taking you, praise God, and joy just welling up in you, and you get the can't help it, and you don't care. I mean, you get to the point you want to tell everybody you see about how good Jesus is, what He's done for you, how He saved you, how He's helping you along, how He brings you through these circumstances that you'd never be able to get through by yourself. Amen. Hey, you wake up every morning encouraged with a new zeal in your heart, praise God, with the realization that, praise the Lord, one day in a little while, we're going to be with Him in glory, shouting it through the ages. Amen. What a time we're going to have, praise God, when we get there. He's laying it out for us, praise God. To live in the Spirit is to walk in the Spirit. Amen. So we see as He lays out here this corresponding grace of God to know Him, praise God. It's imparted grace to know what God has for us and realize that we get to participate in the program of God. Amen. I think a lot of times we get so discouraged in the churches because we're not participating. Amen. We think, well, you know, you got to get in, you got to get saved so you don't go to hell. That's true. Amen. That is true. You got to get in, you got to get saved, you got to accept the Lord Jesus, so you don't have to go to hell. But it's great. It's a whole lot bigger and better than that. Amen. Through the corresponding grace of God, we get to get in, praise God, and be partakers with Him and the work that He has, the ceaseless work of helping us, praise God, along the way. It's encouraging work of God. Amen. It's encouraging. Praise the Lord. I know sometimes it seems difficult to do the things that's right in this world. There's so many people around us, family and neighbors and people, even friends, that say, I don't know why you do that. I don't know why you go up there to church. I don't know why you do that. You don't have to do that. And I said, no, I don't have to do that. I get to do that. Amen? Because I got a Lord and Savior that loved me, and I'm going up there to learn and study about Him. I'm going to draw closer to Him. Praise God. I'm going to get some help, praise the Lord, because He's wanting to work on me. Amen. He's wanting to work on me. He's the potter and I'm the clay. Praise God. And when we come to the house of God, that's when you crawl up on the wheel. Amen. And then He takes the word and He works them lumps and the bumps out of you. Amen. Praise God. Hey, there's a whole lot of us can use some lumps and bumps worked out. Amen. Praise God. So we be more appealing. Praise God to the Lord. Those little things that so easily beset us in this world, in this flesh that we live in, because I've told you before, this flesh is not saved. Amen. And the person that we'll struggle with the most is the one that we look in every day in the mirror. But God, through His ceaseless work, He said He wants to help us, bring us on to perfection. Amen. Through that corresponding grace of God. Not only is that corresponding grace, but a grace for service. Amen. You might say it's the grace of God that keeps marching on, that keeps marching forward for God's glory. Praise God. The march of grace. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3. Chapter number 1, verse number 3. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Where's grace come from? Amen. He offers it to you here. Grace be unto you and peace. Not only get grace, but you get peace. Amen. I'm glad we got peace, ain't you? I got peace in my soul. Praise God. I know that no matter what happens to me, what happens to this old body, one day in a little while, I'm going to fly away and I'm going to be with Him. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. If I get run over by a Mack truck on the way home tonight, hey, don't you grieve for me. You might miss me. I hope you do. But praise God. Listen, I've got peace in my soul and everything's going to be all right in the morning. Amen. Praise God. I'll be, before they get the what's left of me rolled in to say a few words over it, I'll be shouting her out in glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. But it don't stop there. He says, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Corresponding grace. Amen. Grace to serve. Where does it come from? It marches through the Word of God, through God the Father and God the Son, to minister to you and I and give us the benefit, praise God, of the knowledge of who they are. Nothing missing. There's nothing lacking in it. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Jesus was confirmed in you. Now watch this. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you see how Paul was reiterating the Lord Jesus Christ and how the work that he had, the service, the grace that he gives us for service unto the Lord? As he's marching on forward, we get our marching directions, and he said, hey, you're not in this, but we got a great high commander in chief, praise God, that gives us our marching orders, our direction, our directive, so we'll know which way to go. Amen. Praise God. You're not in this all by yourself. There's somebody with you. Praise God. As you're marching forward for the cause of Christ. Amen. As we march on through, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You say, how do you do it? You build upon the right foundation. Amen. Of Christ our Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 10. He said, according to the, here it is again, grace of God, which is given unto me. Amen. Praise God. God, hey, listen, you know what God does? He just loads you down with grace. He just pours, overflows you with grace. Praise God. If you was a honey bun, praise God, you'd be a great big glazed one. Amen. Praise God. Glory. Amen. The grace of God, praise God, just anoints you and pours over you, covers you and overshadows you. Glory, hallelujah. He said, which is given unto me. I'm glad it didn't cost me nothing. I'm glad I didn't have to earn it. But praise God, I just desired it. And the grace of God manifested. I just believed it was, and there it was. Praise the Lord. He said, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. And I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Amen. Glory to God. He said, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Amen. Praise God. He said, God has given us a foundation. Praise God. And he said, there's nothing missing. There's nothing left to be desired. God has given that. And God's given us a foundation. A foundation that's sure, that we build upon, which is none other than Jesus Christ our Savior. He says, for other foundation, verse 11, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. He said, that foundation is sure. Praise God. He said, what we have to do, young'uns, is just keep building and building and building on that foundation that we know is sure. The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell in Deuteronomy 6, do we need to talk about it? When we rise up, praise God, and when we walk by the way, and when we sit at the table, praise God, before we pill our head and put it upon the gatepost. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus Christ is King and Lord of Lords and the God of glory and one to be worthy to be praised. Amen. Praise the Lord. God does the rest. Amen. Gives us that grace for service. Helps us to march on for the good cause of Christ. Keeping building upon that foundation of Jesus our Savior. If we march on, praise God, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, praise God. It gives us the grace that we need to become who He'd have us to be. Did you hear what I said? He gives us the grace that you and I need to help us to become who we need to become. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10, Paul says this. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Praise God. It's that marching grace of God. Praise God. That preserving grace of God. That corresponding grace of God. That helping grace of God that helps you and me be who God would have us to be. Amen. And we are what we are today by the grace of God. Well, you say, Pastor, what would be the difference? Without the grace of God, you could be an old wino laying in a ditch somewhere. You could be an old prostitute somewhere. You could be a drug addict strung out on drugs out there somewhere. But the marvelous grace of God has brought you up and brought you out and put you here, praise God, under the nourishing Word of God to get the satisfaction and the help and the hope that you and I need, praise God, to be who God would have us to be. Amen. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. An unmerited favor of God that I never in no way deserved, but God gave it to me anyway. And he says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. How do you know that? Because Paul was always a bragging on his Lord. He was lifting him up. He was praising him. He was thanking God for his grace, had unmerited favor, and he knew he didn't deserve, but praise God, God poured it out upon him anyway, a little here and a little there, and he'd just shout her out on the way. Amen. Old Paul was a pitiful fella. Amen. Had a lot of ailments. Couldn't see. That's why he had Dr. Luke would go with him. Dr. Luke wrote a whole lot of the word for him. He was his Emmaus. He was the one that would pin. Paul would recite it to him, and Luke would pin it down. Amen. He was there with him to help him, to take him by hand, to lead him on the way. Because said Paul was just almost blind, couldn't see. That's why he would write a letter in Corinthians. He'd say, see how large a letter I wrote with my own hand. He had to write in big old block letters because he couldn't see it any other way. Amen. Praise God. But he loved God Almighty, and he said, I am what I am, no matter what the circumstance or the situation, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter what we go through, no matter the contention and the strife of this world, you and I are what we are by the grace of God. Amen. By His marvelous grace. He said, which is bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. But watch this. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, God don't just bestow His grace upon you. That saves you, praise God, by His marvelous grace through faith. But He loads you up with the benefit of grace in a daily fashion. Pours it out upon you and upon me in an abundant fashion. Praise God. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, how did I do it? He said, it was the grace of God that helped me to get up every day and to go just a little farther. Amen. Praise God. Grace is who we become, praise God, through the help of the Lord. So we have that corresponding grace. We have that grace for service. Amen. But God also gives us grace for growth. Amen. Grace to grow in the ministry. Grace to grow for God's glory. You know what grace is? Grace is a heart attitude. Amen? Grace is a heart attitude. Look at First Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 15. Paul says this to the Colossians. He said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Amen? Where does the peace of God need to rule? In your hearts. Where does the grace of God need to rule? In your hearts. Where does the love of God need to rule? In your hearts. Amen. We need to have a heart transplant. Had to have a new heart. A heart, praise God. Not a thumping gizzard, but a heart, praise God, for the things of God. Bless His holy name. He said, but let the peace of God rule in your hearts. to thee which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen. He said, we are one body, which is the church of the living God. And it's through grace, praise God, a change in our hearts. But in verse 16, he says this. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what? Grace in your hearts to God. Where does grace come from? It comes from God. And if we're going to sing and praise and give God glory, it has to come from God. Amen. Come from our hearts where God puts it, that He can use it in us for His glory. Amen. We ought to be excited about that. And that gives, that's where our growth comes from. Where we become a heart through a heart attitude. The affection of the heart toward God makes that difference. Amen. So we begin to walk in His grace. Colossians in chapter 4, right there beside where I was reading, he speaks about that walk of grace. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5. He says this. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. He said, because you have grace now, because you have grace, you have God. And because you have grace and God, he said, you can walk in wisdom circumspectly before the Lord. And he says, as we're walking circumspectly for Lord, praise God, he said, then we will be able to redeem the time. That redeem the time means to take it back. Amen. To take back the time. To look for those opportunities that God give us because He is so full of grace to me and you. Praise the Lord. So we can see folks, like we're seeing people get in and be saved and born again. Amen. You know the only thing that really bothers me is that people aren't getting excited about getting in as we should. I mean, you see little trickles here and little trickles there. That's great. I praise God. I'm not complaining. I just like to see everybody just get in and get excited about what God's a-doing. What God's a-doing, praise God, in your life. Having a testimony, praise God. You say, you know what? God's been good to me. Amen? No matter what we face, no matter what the devil tries to throw at you, say, you know what? God's been good. And He's never done anything bad to us. He's just been there to bless us and help us, encourage us, and try to draw us along and draw us closer to Himself so He can bless us and help us and continue on. Amen. Just getting bigger and better. Praise God. His parting grace to me and you. Amen. Verse number 6, he says in Colossians 5 or 4, he says this. He said, let your speech be always with grace. Amen. That unmerited favor of God. He said, let even your speech, what you say, be with the unmerited favor of God. He said, well, Pastor, how can we do that? Because God has given it to us. We ought to be willing and able to give it to someone else. That unmerited favor, praise God, that hey, we didn't deserve. If we ain't careful, say, well, that's God, they're so rotten in no account, they don't deserve that. Amen. We didn't either. But God, in His unmerited favor, praise God, He offered us grace and mercy. And through faith, we received it. So we begin to walk in grace. He said, let your speech be always in grace, seasoned with salt. Wow. He said, let grace be seasoned. Seasoned. See, salt is a seasoning. Salt gives flavor. Amen. Praise God. Salt offers us some flavor. So it's not so bland. Of course, you eat too much of it and it'll swell up your arteries and you'll die. Amen. But salt is a seasoning, praise God, that we can use. But salt is also a preservative. Amen. You can take a side of pork and salt it down, put it in the smokehouse, praise God, and it'll keep indefinitely for years and years. Praise God. He's telling us here, praise God, it's in the wisdom of God. Praise, walk in the wisdom of God, redeeming the time because of the grace of God, seasoned with salt. He said, but preserving the things that belong to God because He so gracefully preserved them for you. Amen. Are we going to preserve them for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren? Do we really care? Amen. I was thinking about that this evening as I was reading over this. I thought, do we really care about those coming along beside those people that we know and acquaintances? Maybe not even our family, but acquaintances. What are they going to have? Who's going to share this with them if you and I don't? Amen. We need to be sharing it, right? Because it's grace for growth. It gives us growth, grows us closer to the Lord. He said, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amen. We ought to be able to share what we have, what God has given us. We ought to be able to pass it out, amen, in a liberal fashion. Because God has been so good to us. Amen. The grace, that grace that passes understanding, that mercy and rejoicing in the Lord, that peace and that comfort that He gives us in Christ our Savior. So we see as God begins like that imparted grace of God, that gift of God that's made known to you and me by God. That's how it works. Amen. Praise God. The quality of it, the quantity of it, the service of it, the growth of it. It brings us to a place, praise God, where God can use us and bless us. Over in John chapter number 15, we see how it's applied. Amen. How it works the best. I thought Josh was going to teach on this morning. He skipped right over it. But in John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking. Amen. If you got a red letter edition, it's in red writing. And He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Amen. Verse number 3 said, Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's what cleans us up. It's the word of God. Sometimes you teach and you give people the word, you preach the word, you try to give the word to people, and they get mad and they puff up at you. Amen. Because it has an abrasive effect to an old lost sinner. Or someone that's a professor of salvation but living in sin. It's abrasive. Amen. It'll scrub the devil out of you. It irritates the flesh. Amen. But Jesus said this, verse number 4. Now watch this. He said, abide in me and I in you. Amen. So He tells us to abide in Him. And He'll abide in us. Right? So if we abide in Him, He'll abide in us. He said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Why is the church not producing fruit today? Because we're not hanging out in Jesus. And we're not abiding in the vine. So we're not producing the fruit that God would have us to do because we're not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 5, He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Amen? But why do we fail? Why do we come short on bearing fruit? Look at the last part of this verse, verse 5. He said, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. If we're not abiding in Christ, seeking Christ, praying, literally abiding in Him, staying in Him, abiding in His Word, abiding in His truth, we're not going to be productive. Amen. Our fruit's not going to be there. Verse number 6. He said, if a man abide not in me, he was cast forth as a branch and is withered. Amen. In other words, it's just as if you're cut off. There's no nourishment. There's no nurture there, praise God. when you're not abiding in Christ. In other words, you've severed yourself from the vine, and you'll starve to death. There's a whole lot of people today, and even in this community, that has severed their ties with the Lord. They've gone in their own pernicious ways, doing the things that the desirous of the flesh. Amen. And their spirit is withered away. It's withered up. Amen. I just say to people like that, you better not get too close to the fire, because it'll kindle up on you easy. Amen. It said, men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But look at verse 7. I like this right here. Amen. Now this is the imparted grace of God that we're talking about. It said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Amen. See the abiding process? He said, you're abiding in me. He said, you're looking to me, you're desirous of me. And in my words are abiding in you. He said, you're taking my words, you're applying them to your heart, to your life. You're sincerely desiring the good word of God. Amen. He said, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We've come full circle. The imparting grace of God is manifest to us. Hey, praise God. The corresponding grace, the saving grace, the grace that we need to grow is all in Christ Jesus and abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Praise God. Attaching to the Lord and just staying with Him. Amen. Praise God, through the thick or the thin, through the drought, through the storms. Amen. Just stay with God. Amen. That's all He asks us to do. That's the imparting grace of God. God's grace, amen, manifest unto us. Amen. That we can know. And said, this is how it works for me and you. Amen. Not just for me. Not just for the Sunday school teacher, not just for but for every lay person in the church. It works for us the same way, that when we abide in the Lord, we stay in the Word, God manifests Himself to us, and we just get, it just gets better and better. His old fellow said, gooder and gooder all the way. And one day we'll fly away. We go out of here to be with Him. Amen. And we can. This is so easy, praise God, to represent to those folks around us the abiding grace of God. Amen. That helps us along the way. That God has imparted to us. Why? Because He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary, so that we could be drawn to Him. Amen. Reconciled. The word is reconciled to God. Those were enemies and alienated from God. Said through Jesus Christ, amen, His imparted grace, He draws us unto Himself. Draws us away from us and draws us to Him. We need to be drawn today. Amen. We need to have that desire. We need to diligently seek Him. That's what the Bible says. Diligently put forth the effort to just seek the Lord. Praise God. And He begins to bless us. He begins to manifest His grace to us. That unmerited favor that we don't deserve. He said, and then when we get to the point that we've received that and we're on His page, then Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10, He said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. He said, we start doing those good things that's pleasing to God. And it tickles us to be able to do that. Amen. It tickles us to be able to, you know, visit the sick, to help somebody along the way, to encourage somebody that's down and lift them up. To edify, praise God. He would say this, and I don't know why the Lord brought this to my attention, but I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. Not no corrupt communication, Praise God. He said, don't even let that come out of your mouth. You know, sometimes as Christians, we just need to bite our tongue. Keep our mouth shut. We got bars of ivory that we ought to use to keep in that old hateful stuff so it don't ever come out. Amen? And he said, if it's not going to be good for the edifying, for lifting up and encouraging, he said, for the edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. What is grace? That unmerited favor of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you get angry and you get frustrated and you want to say something bad, just say something good. Say, you know what? Jesus loves you and I do too. Because if I didn't, I'd break your neck. No. But just say, you know what? He loves you and I do too. Amen. Praise God. There's something going on, but we're going to fix it with the help of the Lord. Because He's bigger than it all. Amen. The grace of God ministering to our hearts that we might be ministers thereof.